Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a Louisiana property law case. It might seem specific, Sustainable Forests, LLC v. Harrison, but honestly, this is a masterclass in why precision in legal drafting. Well, it can mean the difference between clear rights and, you know, years of courtroom battles.
Exactly.
We're going to unpack how a decades-old deed basically sparked a very modern dispute.
Yeah, and for everyone listening in, especially if you're wading into property law, this is a fantastic chance to see these, well, abstract concepts like servitudes, deed interpretation, how they actually play out in a real-world height.
Right. Think of it as a guided tour through a legal knot.
We'll highlight the crucial threads you need to grasp.
Absolutely. At the heart of it, this case boils down to a disagreement about a road. Simple as that. Who could use it and for what purpose?
Uh-huh.
Specifically, the question was whether this road easement, originally set up just for timber operations, could also be used by a hunting club leasing the land years down the line.
And it all hangs on the details. The wording in a deed from way back in 1963.
It's wild. Ever stop to think how a seemingly tiny word choice back then could lead to massive headaches today? This case is textbook.
It really makes you consider the long shadow these legal documents cast, doesn't it? You know, have you ever thought about how something that feels like standard boilerplate language at the time can suddenly become a major point of conflict and honestly huge cost later on? Sustainable Forests v. Harrison is just a compelling, if maybe unfortunate for the people involved, example of exactly that.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Setting the stage, the core facts.
Let's do it.
So back in 1963, international paper, you'll see them, called IP, they got what was termed a forest road easement. This was across a neighbor's property.
Okay.
Now, the clear purpose, at least back then, was for IP to use this road for their timber business. Hauling logs, getting equipment in and out. Standard forestry stuff.
Right, standard operations. Now jump forward quite a bit. To 1998, IP decides, okay, we're selling our land, the buyer. Sustainable Forests, LLC. And here's a really, really crucial point. The deed. The document transferring the property from IP to Sustainable Forests.
Mm.
It doesn't explicitly mention this existing road easement.
It's just not there.
It's simply not there. Makes you wonder, right? Was it an oversight? Or was there a specific reason it was left out even back then?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that missing piece, really, that's what sparks the whole conflict.
Right.
So, Sustainable Forests takes over the land. They've got lessees in this situation, a hunting club, who, understandably, assume they could use this existing road to get to the property for hunting.
Makes sense on the surface.
But the Harrisons, who by now own the adjacent land, the land the easement actually crosses, they strongly objected. Their argument was straightforward. That original deal with IP, it was strictly for logging. Nothing about recreational use like hunting.
Which, you can imagine, leads straight to court. Sustainable Forests files a lawsuit. They're trying to assert their right, or their lessee's right, to use that road for hunting access. In response, the Harrisons pull a procedural move. It's known in Louisiana law as an exception of no right of action.
Okay, what's that mean, basically?
Essentially, they're saying, look, even if everything Sustainable Forests claims about needing the road is true, the law simply doesn't give them, Sustainable Forests, legal standing to sue us over it. It challenges the very foundation of the lawsuit before you even get deep into the facts.
Gotcha. So it goes to the trial court.
Yeah.
The judge weighs the arguments, the old deeds.
Exactly. And ultimately, the trial court sides with the Harrisons.
Yeah.
They agreed. The easement was limited to timber operations. Sustainable Forests didn't inherit or otherwise gain a legal right to use it for hunting.
Ouch. But that wasn't the end.
No, not the end of the road, so to speak. Sustainable Forests, obviously unhappy, appealed to the Louisiana Court of Appeal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, the appellate court agreed with the trial court, affirmed the original ruling. So to really understand why both courts came down this way, we need to dig into some pretty fundamental legal ideas. Specifically, this difference between personal and predial servitudes.
Okay, let's dive into that, because I think this is the absolute core of why Sustainable Forests didn't win. Personal versus predial servitudes.
It's crucial.
So basically, the legal question boiled down to, was that 1963 easement granted to IP a personal servitude, a right just for international paper itself, or was it predial, meaning attached to the land, benefiting whoever owned that land?
Precisely. And this distinction has huge legal consequences, especially when land gets sold. Now, for a servitude to be predial, to run with the land, benefit a specific property, there's a key requirement. you need what's called a dominant estate.
The benefited property.
Exactly. The property that gets the benefit from the servitude existing on the other property, which we call the servient estate. Think of it like, if your house has a driveway easement across your neighbor's yard to reach the street, your property is the dominant estate.
And the neighbor's yard is the servient estate.
Right. The benefit, the access, is tied to your land.
Okay. And here's where it gets really tricky and bad for sustainable forests in this case. That original 1963 deed, the one creating the easement.
Yeah.
It clearly describes the servient estate, the Harrison's land, where the road is physically. But, and this is the killer point, it completely omits any description of a dominant estate.
No mention.
No mention of which specific piece of IP's property was supposed to benefit from this road. It just isn't identified in the document. Do you even wonder if IP owned adjacent land back then that could have been the dominant estate?
That's a really sharp point. And the legal fallout from that omission, it's major. Because without a clearly identified dominant estate in the deed, Louisiana law presumes it's not a predial servitude.
So it defaults.
It defaults to being classified as a personal servitude, meaning the right to use that road was granted specifically and only to International Paper, the entity.
Not tied to any land they own, just to IP itself.
Correct. A right granted to that specific legal entity.
Right. And the critical thing about personal servitudes, unlike the pre-dial ones that stick with the land, is that they're generally not transferable. Not unless the original deed explicitly says, hey, IP can transfer this right.
It's like a non-transferable concert ticket. It's for you, personally.
And it can't just hand it off. So if that 63 deed didn't say IP could transfer this right legally, they probably couldn't.
Precisely. Now let's layer on the next step. Fast forward again to 1998. IP sells land to Sustainable Forests. Remember that deed?
The one that also didn't mention the easement.
Exactly. It also doesn't explicitly mention or convey this road easement right. It's just absent again.
So, two strikes. The original right was likely personal and non-transferable.
And even if it could have theoretically been transferred, IP didn't actually do it in the deed when they sold the land to Sustainable Forests.
And that's basically the court's entire reasoning in a nutshell, isn't it?
Pretty much. Because the original easement was personal to IP, and the later deed selling the land didn't specifically include transferring that right.
Sustainable Forests simply never acquired the legal right to use the road. They couldn't just inherit IP's personal right automatically by buying land nearby.
Exactly. The fact that their land could have benefited didn't magically transform the personal servitude into a predial one after the fact.
Owning the land the road accessed didn't grant the right to use the road itself.
Because that right belonged to IP personally and wasn't passed on. It's a stark, maybe even harsh lesson in dotting your I's and crossing your T's in legal documents from the very beginning.
Okay, so the court's reasoning is built on this personal predial distinction and the failure to transfer. Were there any specific lines from the judges that really hammer these points home?
Oh, yeah. There are a couple of quotes that really capture it. Judge Drew, in the opinion, stated very directly, "The servitude deed does not describe a dominant estate. This falls within the category of personal servitudes."
Wow, straight to the point.
Incredibly telling, right? It directly connects that missing piece, the dominant estate description, to the outcome, personal servitude. It highlights a fundamental property law rule that apparently got missed in the original drafting.
Super clear. Anything else that really stood out from the court?
Definitely. Regarding that 1998 deed, the sale from IP to Sustainable, Judge Drew also noted, quote, "IP has not conveyed its right of use to Sustainable."
Okay.
This just emphasizes that even though Sustainable now owned land near the road, the actual legal right to use the road stayed with IP because it was personal and wasn't explicitly handed over in the sale documents.
It really drives home. Owning land doesn't mean you automatically get rights over your neighbor's land.
Those rights need to be legally established and clearly conveyed, no assumptions allowed.
It also sounds like the court looked closely at the original purpose stated in the 1963 deed.
They did, yeah. The court specifically pointed out that the 63 deed said the easement was for timber operations, period.
Nothing about hunting.
Nothing. No mention, no hint that it was intended for broader recreational uses like hunting. This just added more weight to the conclusion that the servitude's scope was limited to that original purpose. It couldn't just be expanded because a new owner had different plans.
And I think I remember something else. Acquisitive prescription. Something about gaining rights through use over time.
Yes, good catch. That was another angle sustainable forests tried. They argued that even if the original easement was limited or personal, maybe they'd essentially acquired the right to use it for hunting through long-term continuous open use.
Like squatters' rights for easements.
Basically, yeah. That's the concept in Louisiana, acquisitive prescription. If someone openly uses a path across your land for, say, 30 years without permission, they might gain a legal right to keep doing it.
But it didn't work here.
No. The trial court specifically found that sustainable forests just didn't provide enough proof. They couldn't show that their hunting club, or anyone acting for them, had used that road for hunting continuously and without interruption for the required time period, which, for a non-apparent servitude like this road, can be a high bar, often 30 years in Louisiana.
So bottom line, the fuzzy drafting in 63, specifically missing the dominant estate, plus not explicitly transferring the right in 98, that really doomed sustainable forests' claim to use the road for hunting.
That's the long and short of it. In this case, it really offers some incredibly valuable practical lessons, especially for anyone listening who might end up drafting, reviewing, or fighting over property agreements later.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, especially those heading into legal careers, what are the big takeaways here from Sustainable Forests v. Harrison?
Well, number one, without a doubt, is the massive importance of clear and precise drafting in any property agreement.
Can't stress that enough.
Seriously, this case is Exhibit A for how leaving out one detail, like describing the dominant estate, can directly lead to years of expensive, stressful litigation. Ambiguity is your enemy.
And that ties right into understanding the critical difference between personal and predial servitudes. If you want a right to benefit a piece of land and pass to future owners,
you must explicitly identify that dominant estate in the deed, period. If you don't, the default assumption might be personal, and that right might just die with the original grantee or not transfer on sale.
And practically speaking, when you're looking at buying property, doing due diligence,
never ever assume existing easements or rights automatically come with the land. You have to dig into the documents, meticulously check the chain of title, look for explicit language conveying those servitudes. Don't just hope they transfer, verify it, see it in black and white.
That's incredibly solid advice. You know, it's interesting though, even though sustainable loss on the main easement issue, the court did give them a chance to amend their lawsuit. What does that tell us?
Yeah, that's an important procedural point. It shows that even when your primary argument fails, the legal system often allows for second chances, revisions, exploring other potential claims if there's a possibility of a valid case somewhere in the facts.
So the door wasn't completely shut.
Right. While the deed details were decisive on this specific easement claim, the process allows for potentially finding other ways to frame a dispute if the underlying facts support it.
Okay, so wrapping this up, it really feels like the Sustainable Forests v. Harrison case is this perfect, vivid example that in property law, especially with servitudes, the old saying holds true. The devil is absolutely in the details of the deed.
Couldn't say it better.
Clarity, accurate legal terms, they're not just, you know, nice to haves. They're essential to avoiding these messy, costly, drawn-out fights.
Exactly. And it makes you think bigger, too, doesn't it? Just how many deals, agreements, transactions we encounter every day, way beyond property, really hinge on the precise meaning of the words used.
Good point.
This case focused on servitudes? Sure. But think about contracts, corporate documents, even legislation. What other areas have these incredibly high stakes riding on seemingly small wording choices? Sustainable forests is a great lens for appreciating just how critical, careful, unambiguous legal drafting is across the board.